Today we want to think on the subject of the judgment seat of Christ. And we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, every believer, every person who's received Christ as Savior, is going to one day stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, and our works are going to be judged. Now, there's on one side, there's a real encouragement here. God is watching over us, and he sees everything we do. He does not miss a thing. He sees every act of kindness done, every compliment, every smile, every word of encouragement, every witness that we have given, and every attempt at bridge building. And by that we mean winning one's friendship and confidence so that we might be able to witness to them. And he sees every obedient response. He knows the motives behind everything we do. Not only does God not miss a thing, but he does not want to miss a thing. He loves us. He cares for us. And he wants to reward us for what we do. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, we read, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." And then in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8, we read, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife," and that's the true church, every believer, "his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Or by righteousness, it means the righteous acts of the saints. Now, not only is that an encouragement, but also there's a warning here. He knows every wrong motive that we have, every act of pride, every act of jealousy, every act of bitterness and revenge. We read in Philippians chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. The book of Philippians chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, or they preach Christ, hoping that Paul would have to suffer more, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." Now, Paul rejoiced that Christ was being preached, but some preach Christ with wrong motives, hoping it would bring greater persecution and distress to the Apostle Paul. Now, God can and will use his word to bring fruit and further Christ's work. But those believers that preach it out of a wrong motive will not be rewarded for such actions. The Bible reminds us of another matter involving judgment. We are prone to judge others and be critical of others' actions and motives. In Romans chapter 14, verses 10 to 13, we read, "But why dost thou judge thy brethren, or brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Now we want to consider this matter of judging and what Paul was emphasizing here. And we'll come back to this shortly. But in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, we read, and this is Jesus speaking, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote or the speck that is in your brother's eye, but considerest not the log that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the speck or mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam or a log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first cast out the log out of your own eye, and then shall you see clearly to cast out the speck, the mote that is in your brother's eye." In other words, sometimes we can see the very little tiny things that's wrong in someone else's life, yet we don't see the real big things that are wrong in our own lives. There is probably no sin more common than the sin of fault finding. Husbands find fault with their wives, and wives find fault with their husbands, and children find fault with their parents, and parents with their children. And even in churches, it seems that there are those who are constantly looking for faults in others and then criticizing them. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 to 19, we read, Matthew 11, verses 16 to 19, "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced, and we have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a devil. The Son of Man, Jesus, came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, he is a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." Fault finders are seldom reasonable, logical, nor consistent. They found fault with John because he neither ate or drank with others. And they found fault with Jesus because he did eat and drink water with others. Now, what is fault finding? Fault finding is being hypercritical. Not all criticism is bad, of course. There is constructive criticism. However, hypercriticism delights in criticizing for its own sake. it condemns one because of differences in judgment, and it exaggerates concerning matters of difference and service and conduct. Fault-finding is putting personal prejudice in the place of principle. In the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 24, we read, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." We need to make certain that it is the error of the man or his sin that condemns him and not our own prejudices. It is putting personalities in the place of principles. Fault-finding, it is so easy to justify those who we like but condemn those that we dislike. Fault-finding is forming an opinion without all the facts. We must not judge without full information. We also must know what the Word of God says as it relates to those deeds. Fault-finding is determining motives. It is not always possible for us to know the motive behind the deed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we read, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" Now, human behavior can never be properly evaluated without taking into account the motives. No court assesses a penalty for a crime until the motive is established. Fault-finding is a failure to try to understand the circumstances also. It is not being willing to excuse or exercise mercy. It is condemning the person instead of the deed, and it is condemning the sinner instead of the sin. Remember what Jesus said about fault-finding in Matthew 7:1. He said, "Judge not that you be not judged." This means simply that we will get back what we give. As we do to others, they will do to us. Usually, those who are always finding fault with others are the most sensitive to criticism themselves. They delight in pointing out the faults of others, but they are very much upset when any mention is made of their own faults. This text in Matthew 7 does not prohibit all judgment. Like, notice the context, and we'll look at just a few verses, other verses in Matthew 7. Notice verse 6, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine." Now, in order to do that, we must exercise judgment. Or in order not to do that, we must exercise judgment and discernment. And then notice verse 15, Matthew 7:15. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Now, can we do that without exercising some kind of judgment? No, we've got to use judgment. And notice verse 20. "Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." And this calls for judgment on our part. However, the judgment that is not condemned is a self-righteous, fault-finding judgment. It is possessing a feeling of superiority. It is the tendency to regard others with contempt. Notice 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, the last part of verse 5. 1 Peter 5, the last part of verse 5. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Do not try to help others correct their own faults or even look at their faults at the faults of others when we have faults equal to or even greater than those of our fellow men. Back to Matthew chapter 7. Notice again verses 3 to 5. Why beholdest thou the sliver in your brother's eye, but considerest not the log that is in your own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the sliver out of thine eye, and behold, a log is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the log that is in your own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the sliver out of your brother's eye. Now God does not say we should never help a brother in correcting his faults, but what Jesus said prohibits hypercritical fault finding. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, notice, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, the spiritual individuals have the responsibility, and they are the ones who have first honestly examined themselves and cast out the big problems out of their own lives. They are the ones that God says should help others to come to take care of problems in their lives. Now remember, Jesus could not escape criticism of others, and neither will we. The critic's motives may not be good, and his choice of time and place may not be good, but we can learn certain things from those who are critical. We need to remember, don't try to please everyone, because we can't please everyone. And then also we need to remember that there could be some truth in the criticism, and we should accept what is true and profit from it. And then we should learn to be loving and gracious even in the face of such criticism. Remember, every one of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day, and our good works are going to be commended. We will hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and we will be rewarded accordingly. But however, that which is wrong in our lives will not be commended, and there will not be rewards, and we will have lived a wasted life if our life has not been lived for the Lord, and we have not faithfully lived for Him and faithfully served Him. Regardless how long our life is, let's not live a wasted life, but let's Let's live in such a way that God is honored and God is pleased, and such a way that brings glory to the Lord, and we will be commended and rewarded accordingly if that is how we live. God, help us to live in such a way. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege of being able to live for you and to serve you. And Lord, help us every day to faithfully live for you and faithfully serve you and seek to please you in everything we do. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.